To be assembled with such people as you are. You're the dearest people on earth to me and mean more to me than anyone else in the world, and I appreciate you so very much. And I don't know of anything that's any more important in the service of God than prayer, that God's people would pray, and it does me so much good when I see people and they say, "Brother Raven, we've been praying for you." And I've heard old widows, gray-headed mothers that said they're praying for us. And this is one part of the service that one doesn't have any priority over the other. We don't call on the sisters to pray publicly and openly in our services, but we do call on them to pray secretly and silently for us as we stand before you. And so you are very much a part of the service, and we ask an interest in all of your prayers, knowing that without the help of the Lord, we will not be able to bring anything to be of any comfort. The Apostle Paul says men ought to always pray. He didn't say we ought to always preach, but we had ought to always pray. And that should be a constant habit of our lives, not when we come to the house of the Lord, but every day in our lives. I have ridden and operated heavy equipment, bulldozers and dirt pans, and oftentimes I have tried to pray to the Lord while I was on one of those machines, and farming some, farm tractors, being on them and asking the Lord to be with them. And so I'm sure that we're all familiar with the story of Abraham sending his servant out to get a bride for his son Isaac. And he chose one of his eldest servants. I imagine he looked upon him as being one of his most dependable servants, one that he could depend upon, and told him to go to the house of his master's brethren. Now, that servant didn't have a thing in the world to do with Rebekah being related to Isaac. Didn't have anything to do with that being related. And it reminds me of an old Baptist preacher, really. When we are sent out, we're not here to cause you to be born again and become a child of God. That was brought out to us last evening by Brother Rick in the preaching. Jesus didn't say to Nicodemus to get born again. He says you must be born again. And so Abraham made this servant to swear that he'd go to his house of his kindred. And he goes on his way. And I believe he was a praying man, don't you? As he went. And a man that's called of God that goes out into his service today, I'm going to say if he's not a praying man, there won't be much good results that will come from his efforts that he makes unless he prays unto the Lord. During this past week, a lot of times laying on my bed at night, expected to come up here, I'm seeing so many of you that I don't know, and you don't know me. But I said, Lord, I want to be of some benefit to them. If I can say something that will honor and glorify your name, why, my effort will not be in vain. And as I have stated, and many of you know, I've been doing this, making an effort a long, long time. Made my first effort over 60 years ago. And the thing about it, I've never graduated. I'm still in the school of learning. And learn things along the way. And this servant, as he goes out, he is praying unto the Lord, and his prayers was answered. And he came, when he came to place, he said, let the one that offers me drink, let her be the one. Well, you think that was a coincidence, or do you think that was God's providence? I'm a strong believer in the providence of God. And as I grow older and experience things in my life, I see his providence very, very much. And so it was not an accident. It was not just a coincidence. It was an actual blessing of the Lord that led him. And he made the statement that I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Now, one very important thing about that is, he said I was in the way. If he hadn't been in the way, if he had gone some other way, he would not have done what his master told him to do. And but he said that I was in the way. The Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. The Apostle Paul told his experience along the way. Every time he got an opportunity, he told about his Damascus Road experience. And we've all had experiences along the way, and I've had some experiences in my life that I could not hardly believe, you know, to ask for things. And it happened what I asked for, and really sometimes I was surprised that it came out that way. And I hope you'll not pardon me. I hope you will pardon me for personal references, but when I first married, I had already begun speaking some in the service of the Lord, but the young girl that I married, she was very young, and she was not a member of the church. She was brought up among other people and joined when she was 12 years old because they had a chalkboard there and drawn the pictures of hell and the fire there. And she said, I didn't want to go to that place, and I joined to keep from going to hell. If you got to join the church and follow the Lord because you're scared of what's going to happen, there's not much joy and peace in it. You got to continue to live like you're supposed to, and all to reach heaven in immortal glory. But anyway, we had been married for some time, and one night we were in the bed, and she was crying. And I asked her, I says, what are you crying about? She says, I want to join Trail Branch Church. I says, well, we don't have any bars or gates across the aisle. I said, you see no reason why you can't come and join the church. And then is when she dropped the bombshell on me. And she said, but I wanted you to baptize me. That was before I was ever ordained, or anybody, as far as I knew, had mentioned my ordination. And I said, well, honey, I said, you should not wait until I'm ordained. I said, the church may never ordain me. You need to go ahead and join the church. Well, a month or two later, she offered herself to the church on a conference day. And our first item of conference is to invite visiting brothers and sisters of our faith in order to seats with us, and then the next to give an opportunity for members is the way that most of our conferences are carried on. And then the next item is business. Is there any business that should come before the church? Well, when they gave an opportunity for members, she walked down the aisle and she joined. And when she joined, of course, they asked when and who would she like to baptize her, and she said, call my dad, because my dad was the pastor of the church. And when we gave her the right hand of fellowship, and we had a brother, a senior deacon. He got up and he says, brethren, I believe the Lord's given Trail Branch Church a gift of the ministry in the person of Brother Raymond Lord, and I move that we ordain him. I was not licensed to the stand. I was not liberated. And they voted unanimously to to ordain and set aside. Well, this is sort of a long story in a way, but she had just said, I want my dad, you know, to baptize her. But when the services, when we dismissed services, one of our relatives came up to her and said, would you like to wait until next month when Raven is ordained to baptize you? And she said, yes, said, I'd like to, but said, I don't want to hurt Mr. Lord's feeling, talking about Dad. Now, nobody knew but me and her, the Lord, that conversation that we had that night. And she said, well, if it'll be all right, I wouldn't hurt nobody's feelings, I'd rather he baptize me. So you can't tell me that God doesn't answer prayer.
Amen.
I know in my life along the way, I have prayed unto the Lord of heaven. I'll tell another experience there. New Providence Church, a church that I've been pastoring for several years, had a young brother by the name of Brother Tommy Whittle. He worked with the private schools here in the state of Georgia for several years, and he's recently changed and working with public schools now, but he had a wife and four daughters. And he was a member of the church, but his wife was not. But his oldest daughter was in college, and she called me one day and she said, Brother Raven, I'm thinking about joining New Providence Church. I said, well, Mandy, we're thinking about you joining too. I said, we've been thinking about you joining for a good while. She says, if nothing happens, says, next meeting I'm going to offer myself. And she did. Well, I knew that her mother and her two sisters, their ages was close together, constant visitors of the church. And I told my wife, I said, wouldn't it be wonderful if the Lord would burden her mother and her two sisters' heart and they join when she's baptized? And guess what happened? Before the baptismal service, we asked, does anybody want to join the church? And her mother and two sisters came and offered themselves to the church. Now, what could I do but to bow my head and thank the Lord that he answered my prayer? And they've been faithful members of the church ever since they have united. And then they had a younger sister that came later on, and I baptized her. So the family and the four daughters are members of the church. I just bring this to your attention to let you know that God hears the prayers of a poor sinner. Yes. Because I'm nothing but a poor sinner in the sight of the living God. But I'm glad that he loves sinners. I'm glad that he hears sinners, the prayers, when they go up before him. And we can find in the scriptures where there were prayers that were offered. And he said that the Lord led him to the house of his master's brethren. But he being in the way, he was in the way, doing what his master said for him to do. And when he went to get that talk to that one that was to be the bride, he began to tell her about his master. He didn't say a thing about how good I am. He didn't say what a good preacher and what a good servant I am. But he says, my master is rich, and he has just one son, and he's heir to all that his son has. Now, if I was a young woman, you know, that would interest me quite a bit, you know, if they begin to tell me how rich this man that I was going to marry is. And not only that, but He told her about how rich he was, but he carried some of the riches with him. He had gold bracelets that he placed upon her arm and a ring upon her finger. And it was not the kind that turns green when you wear it a while. It's the pure gold, friends. And the good news of salvation and what our Father is rich with. It never grows old, but it's ever new, right on and on. I've been hearing this story all my life. The more I hear it, and the older I get in the service of the Lord, the more precious it becomes to me. It's something that you can feel, like the Scotsman said, it's better felt than telt. We rejoice in the joys of our salvation, and knowing that we have a master that knows all about us and cares for us and provides what we need every day of our lives. Not just when we go to church, but in our natural lives. I'm talking about prayer. I mentioned this to Brother Will this weekend. We have a little red-headed grandson. He's in the second grade this year, but when he was 5 years old, he and his grandmother was in the utility room where the washing machine is, and she was working with some clothes, and she was mumbling to herself, talking to herself, he said, "Nana," said, "who are you talking to?" She said, "Oh, I'm just talking to myself." Jamie said, "Do you ever talk to yourself?" Now, he was 5 years old. He pointed, he says, "Sometimes I talk to Jesus up in the sky." Now, who put that in his heart? I couldn't do it. No one else but the God of heaven is the only one that could tell that child what source he must go to for help. He says, "I talk to him, Jesus, up in the sky." A lot of times, we never know the effects of prayer we may have. We can find incidences in the Bible where men prayed, and even women prayed, and God heard their prayers. You remember Hannah, she prayed that the Lord would give her a son, and he did. We find where the church was praying for the Apostle Peter when he was locked up in prison, and the prison door swung open. And I told Brother Brother Will, when I came to these iron gates here, that they didn't open of their own accord. We sat there a good long while before he came and opened them. But when they prayed for Peter, and then when the Lord answered their prayer, they couldn't hardly believe it, could they? They thought he was a ghost. They thought that the Apostle Peter was a ghost. And we can find many incidences in the Word of God where they prayed unto the God of heaven and he heard their prayers. You remember when the Apostle Paul had a mind to go into Asia, and the Lord, he had a vision or a dream in the night telling him to go somewhere else. Well, he abandoned his plans of going where he wanted to go, and it's always best to go where the Lord leads.
Amen.
And so he followed the Lord's instruction, and he went over to the place, and one of the first things they did was throw him in prison. Now, with my disposition, I'd said, "Lord, now you sent me over here, and now you've let these people put me in prison with my disposition like I am." But what happened at midnight? They sang songs and they prayed unto the Lord, and the Lord heard their prayer and shook the prison, and the prison doors swung open, and they were freed. How many times in your life have you prayed and said, "Lord, bless me," or "bless my children"? I had a brother 6 years older than me that went through the South Pacific during World War II and fought the Japanese and finally wound up on Iwo Jima, which, as you have read about and know about, was a rough place to be, according to all the information. But he said that when they could get in the heat of the battle, he said, you'd hear some crying unto the God of heaven, "Lord, help me, be with me in foxholes over there." But he said one day, when everything had settled down and they'd about captured or killed all the Japanese there, he said they had put up a big tent. He said he was there on one side of the tent and he heard a voice around on the other side of the tent. And that voice was saying, "How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord." And he said it was like a magnet. Said, I began to run to where I heard him singing that song. And it happened to be a soldier who came from a primitive Baptist family in Texas. And he said, "You're talking about a sweet fellowship," but they had it there. Because my brother... Well, I'll go further with this. When my... Now, if you get tired of my experience, you tell me yours. And I won't get tired of it. But when I was to baptize my wife, I began to pray, "Oh Lord, if it's right for me to be ordained, if it's your good pleasure for me to be ordained in the service of the Lord," I said, "you let somebody else join the church." Well, on Sunday morning, got up and we was doing our regular chores around the farm. And my brother came to me and said, "Would you baptize this poor sinner this morning? My own brother in the flesh." And so I had the privilege, the day after I was ordained, of baptizing my wife and my oldest brother. Now, you can't tell me that God doesn't answer prayer, because I've got the evidence in my life where he's done that more times than one. And I'm sure that you could tell me the same thing about experiences that you have had. And I have wondered in my early days in the ministry how that I was going to have gasoline to go to the church, little churches that I served, or how I was going to do the things that I needed in the natural realm. And God came through and blessed me with blessings untold. And Brother Harold, I enjoyed Never Forsaken. I could witness with that along with you when I read it. The Lord never forsook me. I was on my way to church one day, one Saturday morning, down near Cordele, Georgia, and I had a flat tire. looked in my trunk of my car, and I didn't have a spare. I was about, probably about 5 or 6 miles from the church. A rank stranger came along that I'd never seen before and stopped and said, "What's your trouble?" And I told him. And it was getting to be close to meeting time on Saturday morning. He says, "Get in the car," says, "I'll carry you there." He took me to church, you know, and I tried to pay him to let me. He said, "No," says, "You don't owe me anything," says, "I'm just glad to do it." And that afternoon after church, we got the car and got a spare tire for it. And I remember quite well the treasurer of the church. He worked at a service station part-time. And he took $7 out of the church treasury and got me a used tire to go on my car, you know. And so I know what it is to wonder, you know, how I'm going to meet my obligations, even in a financial way. And the Lord has always provided for me. He's opened the windows of heaven and poured me out blessings that I never expected to receive. And while I was pastor of this church, there was a brother that lived in Norfolk, Virginia, that was raised in that area. And he came home one weekend specially to join in his church. And he came and I baptized him. He, of course, went back to Virginia. And one time we was having a special meeting at a church that I pastored, and we wondered, we was expecting company to come and be in our house, and we wondered how I was going to get the money to take care of our company in a decent, a good way, you know. Just didn't have the money at that time. And this brother from Norfolk, Virginia, he had been sick, and my wife just got wrote on a piece of paper, a little get well note, and said, "Brother Cody, we're thinking about you." And you know, 2 days before that meeting came up, he sent us a thank you for sending him that, and there was a $20 bill in it. That's the biggest $20 bill that I ever saw in my life. And we had $20 that we could buy what we needed, you know, for that meeting. I just want to emphasize to you the necessity of praying, that we need to pray. And God has told us if whatever we need, whatever we ask for, if we'll ask for it in His name, He'll give it unto us. And if we ask according to His will, we're not going to ask for anything foolish. We're going to ask for things that we need, that He blesses us to pray for. And so prayer is an important part of the service of God. And we need to remember that. And pray daily, and pray not just, like I say, on Sunday, but pray every day in the week. Oftentimes at night when I go to bed, I think about the little churches that I serve and that I have served, and I try to ask the Lord's blessings upon them, that He will keep them like He did Jacob in the apple of His eye and in the hollow of His hand. And that there be no strange gods among them, and He might lead them. And they may be as eagles that would soar far above of the troubles and trials of this world. Oftentimes I prayed to God for that. Heard a story one time of a little boy, or young boy, that was out wandering around in the hills, and he came across an eagle's nest. And he took the eggs out of the eagle's nest and carried home. and put them under a setting hen that they had to hatch those eggs, hatch them out. And of course, those little eaglets, when they were born, you know, or when they were hatched, they was there in that old muddy chicken pen. And it's like a lot of God's little children. They're here in the muddy, filthy things of this world. When they could soar far above the troubles, those little eagles could have took wings and flown above the troubles of the nasty place there. And we, God has given us the ability to soar above our trials and troubles. He didn't say we wouldn't have them, but he said he'd be with us. Now, let me tell you something. Nebuchadnezzar could have saved Daniel from the den of lions. He could have saved him from it, but only God could save him in the den of lions. You see the difference? And Nebuchadnezzar could have saved the three Hebrew children from the fiery furnace. But only God could have saved them in the fiery furnace. God has promised to be with us in our trials and in our tribulations here. As I grow older, the more I realize how good God's been to me and how he's blessed me with his felt presence. And oftentimes when I knew it not, when I knew it not that he was with me and has spared me and saved me from harm, even from a natural standpoint. And the old Baptist in the church has been my life for more than 60 years. And I'm like old Polycarp, who is mentioned in Fox's Book of Martyrs. He was 85 years old, they said. He was in prison, and he was told that they were going to put him to death if you'll just denounce the things that you've been believing and leave them, set them aside, we'll take care of you. And Polycarp said, "The God that I serve, he's not forsaken me in my 85 years of life. And I'm not going to forsake him in my death." And that's how we ought to be, friends. If he's been with you in your life, he'll be with you in your death. When you come to the end of life's journey, no wonder that Elder Payne from Texas says, "How sweet to die." I stayed in the home. Brother Rick, I'm fixing to get out of the way. You get your sermon ready if you can. But I stayed in a home in California. And the sisters where I stayed, they were reared in Texas. And their mother was a member of the church that Dr. Payne pastored. And they said he was such an able gift that when he'd ride up on the yard in his buggy or surrey, whichever he was in, said that some of the sisters would go to shouting when they saw him. I said, no wonder he died young. They was praising him more than the one that he was representing, you know. And when he was on his deathbed, he was asked by the physician, he says, "Is it this death?" He says, "Dr. Payne, I'm afraid it is death." He says, "How sweet to die." He must have had the presence of the Lord with him. When that time came in his life. And friends, I hope and trust that by God's free and sovereign grace, that when I come to the end of my journey, it won't be near as long as it has been, of course. I told my doctor the other day, I said, "It don't take as long to get old as it used to." And he agreed with me, and I told him if I kept having birthdays that's going to kill me. He said, well, you can't live without them. He was right there. So the Lord has blessed me with many birthdays along the way. And how thankful that I am to the Lord. And I don't know sometimes if I've ever been worth anything to God's little children, but I'll tell you one thing, they've been worth a lot to me along the journey of life. And my prayers are that God's rich blessings will abide with you and yours until you come to the end of the way. And when that time comes, I trust that we have lived in such a way that we can die in the triumphs of a living faith, believing that some sweet day we'll see Him as He is. In these old cemeteries where we wet the ground with our tears, friends, I don't care how tight the vault is, I don't care how heavy the slab over the grave is, they're coming out of there when the Lord comes the second time without sending the salvation. He's going to say to the north, give up to the south, keep not back. I'll bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. That's the kind of God that we have.
That's right.
That's able to not only save us from our sins, but to give us a sweet home where there'll be no tears and no heartaches and no nursing homes and no hospitals. All will be joy and peace in that home.
Amen.
And sometimes it's like I was when I was a boy. I would go to the gym with a pair of mules, and sometimes it was 5 miles away. And sometimes we'd be in the nighttime coming back. And had a long wooden bridge, longer than from here to those doors that we had to cross. And I was scared to death coming through the swamps, you know, and crossing that bridge. But when I crossed the bridge and I began to go up the little rise, I got far enough up that I could see the light in the window of my home, and I knew that Dad was waiting for me to take out the mules and put them up. And when I saw that light, it made me want to speed the mules up and get there a little quicker. And as we see the lights of glory when we come to the end of the journey, sometimes it makes us want to speed up and go there a little quicker, doesn't it, be with our Lord and Savior. It's a wonderful blessing to be here with you and to share this time with Brother Rick. I mentioned last night, I've known him since he was a little boy. He was parents before he was born. And I love Brother Rick and appreciate him. And thank the Lord that He's calling these young preachers to preach the glorious gospel of His grace. And when you have a mind to pray, I trust you'll remember this poor sinner. Thank you.
I lay the sun is sinking fast. My grace is nearly run. My song is trials now are past. My triumph is begun. Come and around we stand. To my